well. It is good to be here. I appreciate all the singing. And song reminded that the Lord sees what we can't. Your fellowship hall over here will always have a special place in my heart in ways that nobody in this building knows nothing about but me. I was here last in September of 2013, and while I was there, I'd prayed for about 33 years for my daddy to be saved, and prayed hard for all those years, and literally thousands of people were praying for my dad to be saved. And I was praying over there in that fellowship hall in September of 2013, as I always do for my dad that day. And while I was praying, I felt like the Lord really dealt in my heart that he was going to be saved. I really felt that. God gave me a clear hope in my heart that he was going to get right with the Lord. And I went home that following Sunday to the church I pastor. And I told him about that experience there in that fellowship hall where I really believe God had spoke to my heart that my dad would be saved. And I said, I want this on record. Everything's taped around the house. And I said, I want this on record, this story that I'm telling, that God give me assurance my dad's going to be saved. In December the 17th of that year, I'm telling you, our life just fell apart. Everything in our world was kicked loose. My brother-in-law died. I preached his funeral. The next week, one of our church members died, preached their funeral. Day after Christmas, my dad took a nosebleed and wound up in the hospital and sat up on the bed that morning and told my sister, after he got his nose to stop bleeding, said, I think I could eat a hamburger, somebody go get it. And my sister said, I'll go get it. My brother was there in the room with him. He got up, made one step toward the bathroom, fell dead on the floor with a heart attack. And she called me at the house and said, Dad just died with a heart attack. And my whole world kicked loose. And I never did get to hear him say he got saved. And the only hope I have is what God told me over there in your fellowship hall that 2013. Ms. Gail, you sent a card, and I appreciate that. And during that time, within about 6 weeks, we lost seven church members. Buried a mother today, 83-year-old mother, at the church. And the next Wednesday, I was doing another one of my brother-in-law's funeral that died. And they called while I was doing that funeral, and her daughter, the 83-year-old lady in her church's daughter, 53-year-old, had died with a heart attack. In 6 months, I did 17 funerals, personally. I got to where I'd hated to hear the phone ring. But I know this, Acts 15:18 said, known unto the Lord are all his ways from the beginning of the world. And so God knows what we're going to go through. And in the middle of all of that, I had cancer on my ear. I lost my voice for 6 months, couldn't talk hardly for 6 months, had to cancel 6 months of revivals. And I found out I had a precancerous polyp on my right vocal cord, a nodule on my left vocal cord. Then I took pneumonia on top of all of that. And I got to where it looked like, buddy, that my world had fell apart. But I'm glad to report to you this evening, he's still in control. He's still in control. And I'm going to trust him, Job said. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Job said, I looked to my right and I couldn't find him. I looked before him and he wasn't there. I looked to my left and I couldn't see him. I looked behind him and I couldn't find him. But he said he knows the way I take. I ain't got him on my radar, but he's got me on his. Amen. Thank the Lord. Turn to John chapter 16 tonight. Most of what I'll say tonight to some of you will seem a bit boring and tedious. The Holy Ghost really helped us last evening, preaching on the ministry of the Holy Ghost, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I was reminded today what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse number 1. He said to write the same things to you again, to me indeed is not grievous. He said, but for you it's safe. And so I think that we have moved away in this country from the fundamental doctrines of the faith and chased after little pet peevy carnal thoughts. We need to get back to the fundamental cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. And we need that so desperately. Last night, God really helped us to see the need of our hour is to return to the leadership and trust in the Holy Ghost. I'm deeply convicted, even standing here again tonight, that the need of our hour is to quit trusting in our mentality and our education and our abilities and our little choruses and our little ways of doing things and get back to just laying ourselves helpless and hopeless before a holy God and beg that God to pick us up and do something that we cannot do. If God, the Holy Ghost, don't get in charge of this country again, we're in deeper trouble, I fear, than we can imagine. I was talking to your preacher this evening. I know you've been standing a minute, but I was talking to your preacher over the supper table this evening. The last thing that Jesus said about the final church, the church of the Laodiceans, in Revelation chapter 3, last thing he said, knowest thou not that thou art poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked? I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. And he went on and said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. What he's saying there is that the last state of the church is going to be a church that can't see. They have no discernment. They're blind to the truth. They can't see the truth. We need to know the truth, that we don't follow every wind of doctrine and slay the men in cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yes, and the only way we know that is two things. One is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, taken the Word of God, which the Word of God and the Spirit of God will never disagree. They always say the one and the same thing. And so if we're going to get that, we got to get back to the book with the power of the Holy Ghost. In John 16, verse number 7, the Bible said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. And I'm trying to lift off of that word. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, now look at this, it don't say he might. When he has come, well, he has come. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I know you've been standing a minute, but let me say this before you sit down. We'll pray in just a minute. One of the ministries of the Holy Ghost is to reprove of righteousness. We think of him all the time reproving of sin. That is, he reproves of wrong. He reproved me of sin before I got saved, and reproves me of sin after I got saved. But I want to make a statement. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I am just as much convicted of right as I am convicted of wrong. I'm convicted that Sunday is the Lord's day. He's reproved me of that. If he don't reprove you of right, there's something wrong in your heart. He said of judgment, verse 11, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you, or will show you, things to come. He shall glorify me, for he receiveth mine, and shall show it unto you. Let's bow to pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here, all the good singing and fellowship among your people. Lord, I pray you to help us to humble ourselves tonight before you, and God, to purge our heart of anything, God, that might hinder tonight you from freely and fully working, God, through us in this medium. Lord, give us ear to hear. God, give us ears to hear. Oh, God, Lord, you said, let him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Give us hearing ears tonight. Lord, I'm realizing, God, that not everybody has a hearing ear. Oh, God, would you stop the ear tonight? And God, give ears to hear and eyes to see. God, we need you in this hour, Lord, in a definite way. Oh, God, for your honor and your glory, speak to us. I pray for the moments we're before you tonight and before this people. We love you, praise you, and bless your good name for all you are. Have your way, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I tried to preach last night on where Jesus said that it is expedient for you that I go away. I really only dealt with one thing and didn't deal with it a whole lot. But there were three reasons that Jesus had to go away. Jesus said, the best thing for you is that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will not come back to you. We dealt last night the fact of his bodily presence could not be in everywhere at the same time. Therefore, he had to go away that one totally capable and totally the same as he is could come back and do what needed to be done. And so we didn't look at this, and I don't want to look at it tonight, just mention it and go on. He went away that he might position himself as priest. I'm glad, thank God, we now have one in heaven who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The God-man seated at the right hand of God in the majesty in the heavens, who understands me and my infirmities and makes intercessions for me there in heaven. He went away to position himself as priest. He went away that he might, according to John 14, prepare a place. And I'm not going to preach on that. Then he went away for the promise of the Paraclete, the precious Holy Ghost. And we dealt with last night that he helpeth, Romans 8:26, he helpeth our infirmities. And that word we told you meant to get the other end. We use the table, remember, if you were here. He gets the other end of our load. Thank God. He didn't leave us here to see to ourselves. He didn't leave us here to care for ourselves. He didn't leave us here to fend for us and teach ourselves and do the best we can. But thank God, he left us one that is equal in every divine respect unto himself. Amen. I have in the person of the Holy Ghost everything that I would have had had Jesus Christ been walking this battle with me. Amen. I've got everything that I need. Now, I want you to look. You know this, I'm certain, but I feel like God would have us to take it anyway. Ephesians chapter number 1. Now, I preach 95% of the time expositorily, but I'm not doing that tonight. Neither did I do it last night. So just turn with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 1. Paul said in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Watch it now. In whom, in Christ, ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed,
You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now listen at this tonight. I felt definitely sitting there the Lord would have me to remind you tonight that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. You say you said that last night. I might say it again tonight, and I might say it again tomorrow night. Oh, how we need reminding that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, that God lives in me. I tell you, friend, when I think about that, it just about overwhelms my soul that the God of all eternity, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God that created the ends of the earth, the God, thank God, that is and all by Himself, He is the Lord God Jehovah, is by Himself self-existent, needing not me nor you nor anything nor anybody to make Him who He is, that thank God that God lives, thank God in my body. Hallelujah. I'm glad He lives there. I want to remind you of that. People get defeated because they do not recognize that their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. I preached a message here several years back. The Holy Ghost keeps burning my heart to mention it while I'm standing here. Perfecting holiness. Y'all remember that? And the reason that we ought to perfect holiness, 2 Corinthians 7, having therefore, dearly beloved, these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And one of the promises that He mentions is that your body is the dwelling place of Christ. I'm telling you tonight, friend, it'll change your life. It'll revolutionize your Christian life when you recognize that every night, I'll come to my text in a minute, every night that you lay down, He lays down with you. Hallelujah to God. Every morning when your eyes get open, He opens up with you. Amen. Thank God. When you crawl in that car to ride to the job, thank God He is with you. Amen. I'm trying to tell you that you don't have to look for Him. You don't have to hunt for Him. Just look inside and see that one you trust in Christ, that He lives in you, in your body. What a great thought. I don't know if any of us really could grasp that. The God that made the sun and causes it to shine lives in me. The God that conceived in the virgin womb of Mary through the Holy Ghost, the person of Christ, lives in me. Oh Lord, I can't get to my text for a minute. I'm thinking of that song that we used to sing a lot in my early days in the ministry. We'd sing that old song, Never Alone. No, never. No, never. No, never alone. The Comforter abides with me. Thank God. Amen. He said He'll come and He'll live in you and He'll abide in you. The world can't receive Him. It don't know Him and it can't receive Him. But He lives in you and He abides in you. Thank God tonight. That's enough to make you shout from here to the end of the road. I don't need a $2,000 quartet to sing 40 songs to get my soul worked up. When I think of, thank God, He abideth in me. He abides. He abides. You remember that old song? He abides. He abides. The Comforter abides with me. Amen. Amen. Through the sunshine and the rain, through the dark day and the lonely day, thank God, He abides. Amen. He's never stepped out for 2 minutes. He's never took a vacation. He's never took a break. He's never went on a trip nowhere. Thank God, the Comforter abides with me. Yes, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He abides. Oh, that you might recognize. Paul said, know you not. Don't you know this? Can't you get a hold of this? That the Holy Ghost, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I ain't said a word I got up here to say yet, but that means there's going to be some worship going on down in there. Paul said in Philippians 3 that we are the circumcision which put no confidence in the flesh and worship God in the spirit. Amen. I tell you, friend, I don't need 40 songs to stir up some worship. Somebody just sing me a song about Jesus. Somebody just tell me about Calvary. Somebody tell me that my sins are gold, washed away in the blood, and my Savior sitting anchored up there in the third heavens at the right hand of God, and it'll stir up some worship down inside you. Now he's come. He's come. I think folk think, I really want to deal with tonight. I don't know if I'm going to get that way or not, but I want to deal with the fact that he's a living person. A living person that lives in you. One of my old men asked me at the church the other day, he said, preacher, do you think the church was born at Pentecost? I said, yeah, I think it's probably born there, but it wasn't conceived there. Church wasn't conceived at Pentecost. Just as the body of Christ didn't get here before it was conceived, there had to be a conception before there was a birth. May I say the body, the physical body of Christ, was conceived in private without a human eye really seeing it. But then at one moment, in one day, that body that had been conceived was actually born. May I say the night, the second night, the first night after the resurrection, that morning, they were standing in that room trembling and shaking and worried behind closed doors, worried to death. And the Bible said with the doors being closed, the Lord Jesus stepped right through the door. Amen. And he said, peace be unto you. And you know what he did? He breathed on them. Amen. And the church was conceived right there. Is conceived right there. Let me stop just a minute. God made Adam out of the dust of the ground, and there he lay, a dead limb body, no life in him. Then God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The fleshly man was conceived through the breath of God in the Garden of Eden. But the spiritual body of Christ was conceived that night in the room with the disciples when he breathed on them. Amen. Then 50 days later, thank God, they were all together. Listen, the flame, man, I'm getting, I ain't even got to my text. Amen. Listen, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made under a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. Amen. When the fullness of time was come, at the right moment in time, the body of the Son of God came into being. He had always been, but he just got a body. And according to Acts chapter 2, when the day was fully come, on Pentecost, when the day was fully come, just like there was a day fully come for the birth of the fleshly body of Christ, there's a day fully come for the birth of the spiritual body of Christ. And when that day was fully come, the church was baptized and brought into one body. And thank God, listen, when the Holy Ghost moved in you, he come into you. But at the same minute that he came into you, he moved you into him. For by one spirit of y'all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Greek, and have all been made to drink in that self-same spirit. I'm glad, thank God, when he come into me, it was him moving into my body. But at that same moment when I believed, I moved into his body. I'm part of the body of Christ tonight. Lord, my mind's going a million different directions. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. What kind of person? Let me just stop just a minute. I can't even get forward. I can't even get to what I was wanting to deal with. But Paul said that if any man have not the Spirit, so them that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The genuine mark of the believer is the Spirit of God living in him. If Spirit of God lives in you, according to Romans 8, you'll have a witness inside yourself that he lives in you. They can't nobody tell you you're saved but God. I want to make a statement. If everybody in here falls out with me, I ain't going to change my mind 1 hour of what I said. You ain't got no business trying to tell nobody they're saved. We see them come to the altar and they can't get it settled, and we have to tell them, do you believe these two verses and say these words after me? Then we tell them they're saved, and they get up still doubting it, and they can't even testify for it themselves. Don't look at me like that. It's getting quiet right there. You ain't got no business telling nobody they're saved. There ain't but one can convict them. There ain't but one that can convert them. And there ain't but one that can tell them for certain they're saved. He's the only one to do it. If every preacher in the state of North Carolina tonight come to me and told me I was lost, I'd laugh at him while I sipped on my Diet Coke. You know why? I've got a witness in my heart greater than the witness of men. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the witness God testified of his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Ain't nobody make you doubt it if you got it. And there ain't nobody make you got it if you ain't got it. We're trying to lead people to assurance. It's the Holy Ghost that leads to assurance. I made a bunch of professions and I never did know saved. But thank God 38 years ago, as a 20-year-old boy, amen. He came inside. I've failed. I've stumbled. I made a blue million mistakes. He ought to kicked me into hell a million times. But there's one thing, thank God, at the top of it all, been riding on the throne of my heart, is the assurance of the Holy Ghost that I went to Calvary one day. I went down in the empty tomb and I died with Christ. You ever hear anybody quote this verse? Quote it wrong? You can think about what I'm about to say while I break this bottle of water. You ever hear anybody say, our spirit bears witness with each other? The Bible don't say that. The Bible says his spirit bears witness with my spirit. We have, if you receive the witness, amen. You know what a witness is? Lord, have mercy. I ain't got a word what I meant to come up here with. You know what a witness is? A witness is somebody knows something firsthand. Everything else is just hearsay. It's just hearsay. You start to say somebody, judge, just say, yeah, hold it, that's hearsay. You got to testify to what you know yourself. If you don't know nothing yourself, sit down and hush. Holy Ghost is the witness. He sent the Spirit of God to be back to be a witness. And if you're saved, his Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. I just well go ahead and mind God and forget about my outline a minute. Are you listening to me? And I failed our church once. He'd get done with this thing and come to the altar and try to get sure he's saved. He couldn't ever get it settled. He went through that about 2 or 3 years. And one day he looked at me, tears in his eyes. And he said, "Why won't God tell me I'm saved?" I said, "Because God don't lie." I said, "God ain't going to give you assurance that you're saved if you're not saved. He's the Spirit of truth." It's getting off quiet out there. I'm probably somewhere somebody agreeing with what I'm saying. He's the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth, well, amen. Help me, God. I done messed the whole thing up here. The first witness of you being saved is not the Bible. The first assurance of your salvation is not the Bible. We've made the Bible become a savior today. If you believe 2 or 3 verses out of the book of Romans and say some words after a preacher, then you're saved. And you get up doubting it just as much as you did before you went down there. Because the only way the Spirit, that the word of truth can be borne witness to is by the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth takes the Word of truth and bears witness with it. And the Spirit of truth won't bear witness to the Word of truth if the Spirit of truth don't live in your heart. You say, "I don't agree with that." Well, let me stop just a minute. Let me ask you a question. How long have you been saved, brother? It's my idea. Oh, Lord, you ain't been saved no time, then, have you? I thought maybe you was an old Christian. 14 months, so you just instilling diapers. How long you been saved? How many? 20 years. I've been saved 38 years. Now, when I got saved, listen to me a minute, I'm still on something here. When I got saved, my daddy was a drunk. All of my family's drunks. All my mother's family's drunks. We buried 17 and 15 years a direct result of alcohol. All of you, drunk. I was on my way to the same road. I couldn't have found John 3:16 in the Bible if it kept me out of hell. I know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know nothing about God. I didn't know nothing about religion. I was a heathen and a wicked, ungodly reprobate that ever been one. Got saved, I had hair down to there. All you could see was 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth. I looked like a pet booger. Didn't know nothing about the Bible. But I'm telling you, the night I got saved, I couldn't have told you from the Bible how I knew it, but yet I had something inside my heart that I knew I was in, son. I knew I'd passed from death to life. I knew I'd went from hell to heaven. I knew I'd went from darkness to light. But I couldn't tell you from the Bible how I knew that. And nothing about the Bible. But His Spirit had went and borne witness with my spirit before I even knew the Bible. If you don't think that's right, you'll have to tell a man that he can't even know he's saved till he learned to quote the Bible. That's the reason so few today, when you read them 2 or 3 verses on the altar, out yonder at the house or somewhere, they look at you and say, "You said you get saved? I don't know." Well, why are you such a fool? Excuse my terminology. Why are you such a fool to try to tell them they are when they're telling you they don't know? If you don't think God's big enough to tell a man he's saved, you've got a small God. You got any kids? How many you got? How old are they? 23 and 18? You don't look old enough to have a 23-year-old kid. What if it's a boy or girl? All son. Listen to me. If one of them come to you and said to you, "Daddy, I wonder, am I your boy?" Would you do everything in your power to let that boy know he belongs to you? When you want to remove that doubt, why won't God take that doubt away? I'm not trying to make you listen. You can't make a child of God that he's saved. I've been through everything I guess a man can be through since they've been saved. I tell you one thing, I've never been in a meeting where the Holy Ghost got to moving and it made me doubt I saved. Amen. Every time he gets to moving, he says, "Yes, sir, buddy. Been there." Amen. done that. Know about Jesus. Know about that whooping stuff. I'm telling you tonight, friend, if he lives in your heart, you've got an inborn witness. A witness that's bigger than the witness of man. Ain't a word of what I meant to say. Bigger than the witness of man. I had a sister. Lord have mercy, where are we at here? I had a sister. I was pastor of another church. Been preaching 38 years, and I was pastor of another church. I resigned it after almost 3 years. Come to the church where my sister went, not knowing that God was fixing to move the pastor, move me in as pastor. I didn't know that at the time. But every single time that God swung through that place, she started out and she saved. In a normal, mediocre, dry meeting, she was fine. But the minute the Holy Ghost moved in, here should come the altar. I don't know if I'm saved. Well, my pastor left, and I took the church. I watched her for about 2 years. It went on over and over again. Had great preachers come through. Every time God swing through that place, I'd look for it. Here she'd come. Everybody got to getting around her and reading her some more Bible and telling her, now you believe that verse right there. You can't believe a verse right there if God don't live in you. If God don't quicken you, you can't believe that through your head. He don't save the head, son. He saves the heart. And you believe from the heart. And the doubt don't come from the head. It comes from the heart. And you can know all the facts with your head, but your heart still don't believe. It's going to get quieter, I'm afraid, but I'm going to mind God for getting run off. And it happened every time. We was in revival, Brother Billy Mitchell. And here she come, Wednesday night. Whole bunch of visiting churches and preachers there and went on and they gathered around her and I went on and told them. I was standing on stage and I went around and said, get up, leave her alone. She don't need to talk to you. She needs to talk to God. Nobody around this crowd can save her, even enlighten her. Only God can enlighten her and only God can save her. Now look at me like that. I ain't looking at you, but I know you've kind of got some kind of thoughts going on. I can feel them. Thursday night, here she come again. All them preachers gathered around them again. I said, get up. Leave her alone. She don't need to talk to you. She needs to talk to God. She needs to get a hold of the Lord. I said, you need some repentance worked in your heart. You can't have faith till God works repentance in your heart. Repentance is a turning from your sin, and faith is a turning to the Savior. And until your will's broke to turn from your sin, you ain't got no faith to turn to the Savior. One of them preachers looked at me going out the door and said, I ain't coming back. I said, suit yourself. He said, you don't care for her. I said, that's my flesh and blood sister. Don't you tell me I don't care for her. I do care for her. I said, she can quote more Bible than you can. But she don't know she's saved. And ain't nobody can tell her that but God. It's getting awful still in this place. Friday night. Here she come again. By then, everybody got the hint. Preacher's going to jump on me if I talk to her. Now, I'm not talking about maybe some people that don't know nothing. But these people have been in church for 20 years and can't get it settled. Brother Billy Mitchell come over to one of them nights and he said, hey, this preacher's telling you right. Leave her alone. Saturday evening at 5 o'clock, my phone rang. That was for the days of the little caller ID. It's just guesswork who it was. And I picked it up, and the minute I said hello, she said, Pastor, I just got in.
I just got saved. I said, what was the matter, Debbie? She said, just exactly what you said. I never repented and broke my will and humbled myself before God. See, look at me. I'm not gonna miss this saying this if every one of you don't agree with it. We're in a generation that we've got to tell them when they come to the altar, the minute they come up there, we've got to tell them they got saved. That ain't been but the last 35, 40 years. There was a day some of them would pray 3 or 4 days. Repentance working in their heart. Them turning from their self-life. Them turning from their sin. Them turning away. Getting desperate. Getting broken. Getting under conviction. Knowing that they didn't deserve heaven. Willing to cry out for God. Say, oh God, you're right in sending me to hell. She said, I was believing with my head, but I couldn't believe with my heart because I wanted my life and his life too. He's still Lord, you know. Much of that been preached today. It's just come and receive him as Savior. Most folk want him as a spare tire, but they don't want him as the Lord. Don't look at me that way. They don't want no Lord over their life. They want to still be in control of their own life. I'm going to tell you something. That's maybe all I'm supposed to say tonight. I don't know. But let me tell you something tonight. If you've ever repented, if the Holy Ghost has ever worked repentance in your heart and broke your heart, that you're willing to turn your back on your sin. The minute he sees you turned in your heart, I'm not talking about not ever sinning again. I'm talking about when it's your intention, your desire, your human will is broken, you're willing to turn your back on your sin. At that moment, he'll show you the cross. Well, amen. Amen. You won't plead mercy for something you ain't guilty of. You won't plead guilty. Listen, you won't say mercy and innocence don't go together. Mercy's only pleaded for guilty people. Ain't nobody guilty today. Ain't nobody lost today. There ain't no sinners around today. Everybody's all right. They've got the Dr. Phil and the Oprah and that little puny wimp down yonder in Texas. What's his name? Joel Osteen. Everybody's perky and positive and going to heaven. Everybody's all right. And ain't nobody wrong. Nobody wrong today. When's the last time you met a sinner? I'm asking you a question. When's the last time you met a sinner? And all your door knocking. When's the last time you met a sinner? Everybody's all right. They feel good about themselves. God will never save you feeling good about yourself. He didn't come to call good people. He come to call sinners unto repentance. He didn't come to call the righteous. Hey, good people go to hell. Sinners go to heaven. Amen. I heard Oprah say with my own ears, I ain't no sinner and I don't need no grace. I said, go ahead and get justice then. I'm glad one day God broke my will. I become a sinner. Hey man, I'm having a good time here. I ain't preached a word of what I come up here to say. I promise you, not one word. I'm glad I become a sinner one day. God stripped me of being a good person. I got a lady in our church. I love her to death. I believe she's lost as June bug in a hailstorm. Every time you preach on self-righteous, she gets so mad at me, she'd kill me. She said, I'm a good person. There ain't none good but one, that's God. None righteous, no, not one. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ain't none of us good. We all come from the same mud hole. We're all reprobates and abominable before the eyes of God. Amen. The wrath of God hangs over every one of our heads. Only thing keeps God sending you to hell, not your loss, is the cross. Some years ago, I was going down the road. I was driving a Lincoln. And I was going down the road and going too fast. And you don't do that when there's a little fella sitting in another car down the hill, you know. And he run me down. He was a jolly fella, and I was too. And we long story. And I finally, he said, "How fast you doing?" I said, "How fast you say I was doing?" He told me, and I said, "Sounds about right to me." I laughed. Now, he was a real jolly guy. I knew his pastor. And I said, "At least that wasn't reckless driving, was it?" He said, "You're in North Carolina, preacher." He said, "In Virginia, it's 20 miles over the speed limit. In North Carolina, it's 15 miles. You're over the speed limit. You reckless driving." That slapped the smirk off my face. He said, "But law, I'm supposed to take you to jail and keep you 4 hours. I looked up through the car window and I said, "Sir, I'm guilty as charged. I ain't got nothing to plead, but I'd appreciate a little mercy." Tear come to his eye. He said, "I've never heard that before." He reached through, my arm was laying on the kind of the door. He reached through the door and said, "Mercy granted." Well, one day God hung me out over hell. God showed me I was lost. God showed me I deserved hell. I didn't have a thing to argue about. There was no argument left. I tell you, when you're ready to be saved. Paul said about the law in Romans 3 that every mouth is stopped and the whole world becomes guilty for God. I tell you, when you're ready to be saved, when you shut your mouth and quit arguing, when you come to the point that you realize you ain't got nothing to plead before God, your mouth stops. And all you can say then before the Lord is, "Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I broke your law. I nailed your son to the cross. I've resisted the Holy Ghost. I've made light of everything you are. God, I'm guilty. I deserve hell. But Lord, if you could somewhere down in your heart of hearts, God, if you could find a little mercy." God said, "I'll tell you, I'll grant mercy on one condition. Will you take my son to be your Lord and Savior?" I'd say, "How much does it cost me, Lord?" "Oh, it's free of charge. I'll give him to you. You'd have the gift of eternal life, and then when you get saved, I'll give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. He'll save you from your sins and the Holy Ghost to save you from yourself."
Amen. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
I've been saved from my sins at Calvary. But I ain't been saved from myself yet. Don't look like too many of you all have either. Like Mays Jackson, somebody said, he said, "Brother Mays, will I look like this in the rapture?" Brother Mays said, "Surely to God you wouldn't want to look like that, would you? I ain't been saved from this old body yet." That's what I was talking about last night, Romans 8. "In this we earnestly groan, as a groaning gone upon us, to be delivered from the body of this death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I'm tired of me. And I wouldn't be you for nothing. So sick of me." But he's put an earnest in me. He put some money down on me. And that ain't a down payment either. A down payment is different than earnest money. Earnest money is a pledge and a promise that I'll come back and pick up what I started. Thank God at Calvary he died for me. When I got saved, he put earnest in me. And the earnest of his inheritance, my inheritance, the first thing down on my inheritance is the Holy Ghost. And it says, I've started something there, and I put the Holy Ghost in as proof that it's mine, and I'm going to come back and finish what I started. Amen. I'm just preaching here a little bit. Being confident of this very thing, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He won't stop what he started. He won't stop what he started. He'll perfect what he started. He'll finish what he started. Justification started when I got saved. Sanctification's going on right now. But thank God, after a while, glorification will finish what sanctification and justification started. I was passive in justification because I was dead in trespasses and sin, and I couldn't do one thing to help myself. Because I was dead, He quickened me and brought me to life and saved me. Now I've got the Holy Ghost, and I've got to be active in my sanctification. But all of my trying, I'm still coming up like Romans 7. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. Y'all with me? The very thing I don't want to do, I do. Now I promise you tonight, if I'd done what I do, would want to do, I'd never sin no more. Any of y'all feel like that? I'd never make another mistake. It's in me. That's the way I feel. But I don't live that way. Follow me very long, you'll find it out. Let me head home Friday night. There's somebody run right across in front of me. I felt like shooting their tires out. But He'll finish it. He'll finish it. Let me say this. I'm about done here. I don't know. I didn't get one word of my what I thought I was going to preach tonight. Listen to me a minute. He'll finish what He started. The best way you can know whether you're saved or not is whether He's still working in you or not. Work out your own salvation. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation, fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. You can't work it out if God ain't working it in. If God ain't working in, you can't work it out. You ain't got nothing to work out if God don't live in there. The only reason I'm still going tonight and you too is because God lives in you. I've quit a million times. I'm about done here. I'm trying to hush. I promise you I am. I've quit a whole bunch of times. Have you ever quit? I've quit. I went to church on. I went to house. Sometime back, I went to house and things weren't going this right. I told my wife, thank God. Thank God for my wife. I appreciate my wife. We've been separate. We've been married 36 years this fall. We've been separate about half of that time. We separate every Monday. I'll go out and revive when she stays home. I told my wife, I said, you let that bunch tonight. You just let them open their mouth. I'll fix them. She said, just go ahead. Just go ahead. She said, you'll have to clean up the mess, Marta. Yes, sir. I said, who yanked your chain? She said, well, just go ahead. I've quit. I've got mad. I've got aggravated. I felt defeated. I felt like, Lord God, listen, Paul said that God put a hope inside of us. That hope is that we'll be unreprovable and unblameable at the end of the road, and something keeps us hoping on that tomorrow might be better. I'm about done here until you're losing you. We keep hoping that tomorrow might be better. We keep trying another day and another day and another day. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost working inside you, keeping you pressing on. Yes, sir. I've seen so many people's quitting. If there ain't no God living inside them, there ain't nothing keeping pressing on. Right. I'm not pressing on tonight because I'm smart and intelligent. No, no, no. I'm pressing on because through all of my failures and all of my faults and all of my shortcomings, He's been down inside working, thank God, helping, moving, turbulent, convicting, cleansing, correcting, chastising. He's been inside beating the devil out of me. And when I thought I was all right, He'll show me again I'm not right. Thank God. That's His work. Thank God tonight, I've got the Holy Ghost living inside. I wanted to preach on Him being a person, a definite person, and then Him being a divine person. This ain't just something in you. It's the third person of the Godhead living in you. I said last night, and I'm done, I promise you. Someone come, Miss Gill, or somebody come to the piano, whoever. I said last night, well, I forgot what I started to say. That shows I'm still human. Well, He will keep working, though. Here's what I started to say. I'm tired of seeing people fall by the wayside. I believe one of the biggest reasons of that is they've never learned how to trust in the Lord that lives in them.
When days grow dark, they don't know how to humble their heart and trust in that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I don't always feel saved. My schedule, I pastor a church about 150 people. Have a full-time radio broadcast. Sit on a mission board. Preach about 20, 25 revivals a year. Talk to a dozen preachers every week and their problems. And these times I wake up in the morning and I feel like, how in God's name will I get through one more day? In just a few weeks, I'll preach in Kannapolis, North Carolina. All week, I'll get home 3 o'clock on Friday morning, pack back up, drive 12 hours to Tampa, preach a meeting, drive all day Friday, 12 hours back to the house after the meeting, get home about 12 at midnight, have a wedding the next day, be in my pulpit the next day, and hit it again 8 straight weeks. Somebody asked me the other day, and I say this humbly. Somebody asked me the other day, I said, how in the world do you keep going? I've got a hole in my heart. Doctor said I'd live to be 8 years old. I'd die before I reached 8 years old. How do you keep doing it? I'll tell you how you keep doing it. He's a God. Greater. Greater is He that liveth, my dear brother. Greater is He that liveth in you than he that liveth in this world. Now, some of y'all may think this is a crazy statement, but you better listen to this preacher. We're told to believe and trust in God. We're told to believe and trust in Jesus. There's a certain amount of faith we better put in the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, if we're going to make it in these dark, dark, dark demonic days. We have to lean on Him. Here I am, Lord, I'm too weak. God, I don't know nothing. I ain't smart enough. But God, I'm trusting in You. Let's all stand, bow to pray.